The first reading is from Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 13. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The second reading is the first letter of Peter. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's been really lovely to be with you and worshipping together this morning and sharing in communion, which I think is, quite appropriate for the word that I'm bringing around our hope that we have, remembering that Christ is at the centre of our faith and the unity that we share together. So, as has been said, I'm Tom. I've travelled down from Bakewell in Derbyshire. I moved up there about 8 years ago now to work for Cliff College. I don't know if any of you heard of that college. And worked there as the college's evangelist, and I led the gap year program and did work with the Methodist Church. And I worship in a Methodist church now, and I'm a circuit steward, so I sort of understand the volunteering for those of you and the governance of churches and helping keep our churches running and organised. At home is my wife and Chloe, and she'll be at church actually this morning with our two children Hetty, who's 4, and Jasper, who's 2. And we've all just been through whatever winter viruses have been going round and all of that. Hetty's still on antibiotics for suspected tonsillitis, so but we're doing okay and getting better. I've brought with me some gifts. At the end of my sermon, I'm going to pray the prayer, so if you want to read that together, we can have a look at that. And I've also brought a coaster. Well, the URC are calling them coasters, but they do look a bit more like a beer mat. And on them are questions. I've dropped mine, I think. Yeah, did I drop mine? Ah, no. On them are questions. And perhaps we can have a discussion about them over the coffee and tea afterwards. But on the purple side are some, is a question in the middle, where have you been filled with wonder? And some information around the side. And then some other questions on the yellow side around the side. But if you use your camera and pick up the QR codes, you can see the question for today, which I had a quick look at this morning. I have one on my desk, and it asks, what is truly beautiful? And it was funny looking at that, because today I also had some WhatsApp messages for some friends who are having a once-in-a-lifetime trip in Australia. And they've just seen, is it Uluru, is it pronounced now, which was formerly known as Ayers Rock. And they are there, and it's quite funny because it does look truly beautiful, but I can also see on their faces the bitter disappointment because it is pouring with rain, and they've only had 1 hour to be able to see it, and they were expecting to go at sunrise, and it didn't work out, and they said, but they're there, and it does look magnificent. So, yeah, what is truly beautiful is today's question. That question changes every day, and it can spark conversations, and the hope of the URC is that for these coasters or beer mats to spark 1 million conversations. It's become the theme of the Synod, the United Reformed Church Synod, Talking Faith. We started it last March. We were introducing it other times. We've tried to do different things, some Zooms and visiting churches and working with. And I know that lots of denominations are picking up on that theme, the Methodist Church, everyone an evangelist. And so I've drawn on that today. Our gospel reading was taken from today's lectionary. And our second reading is one which I think complements that gospel reading, and it's been an inspiration for the Synod's Talking Faith focused. So the 1 Peter reading will sit at the heart of our reflection this morning, alongside those words from Matthew chapter 5. Peter is writing to a scattered group of Christians, people living under pressure, misunderstanding, and at times hostility. They were living during the reign of the Emperor Nero, and he was not a pleasant person. Life was uncertain. Public life was harsh. And yet Peter keeps pointing them, and us as the readers today, back to hope. Not optimism, not wishful thinking, but living hope, as we've sung this morning, grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that hope gave those early Christians courage to live visibly, kindly, and faithfully in a world that often did not share their values. And it is a word for us today too, in our own divided public life, in international conflicts that we hear about regularly in the news, and in the injustices that still shape people's daily experiences. In our gospel reading, Jesus says something quite striking. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus does not say, try to be salt and light. He says, you are. Which means that as individuals and as a local church, we don't really have the option of being invisible or private or purely inward looking. We are not called to withdraw from the world, but to be present within it, bringing flavour, preserving goodness, shining light. Salt that never leaves the shaker does nothing. Light hidden under a bowl helps no one. Faith, by its very nature, spills into public life. And Peter picks this up in his letter. He knows the questions his readers are asking. How do we live faithfully when the culture around us feels so different? He begins not with a strategy, but with character. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. And this matters deeply in a scattered, pressured church. And it matters just as much for us. Unity is not about uniformity. It is about being rooted together in Christ, shaped by his humility, kindness, and love. For an ecumenical church like ours, and I just find it as a Methodist working for the URC always a joy to be in the local ecumenical partnerships, that's good news. We belong together because we belong to Christ. Our unity is grounded in God's revelation of truth through the Word made flesh, the Lord Jesus, who is the factor which unites us. A wholehearted commitment is needed from us to unite behind Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. And it is from that shared life that our witness flows. As Tim said, today many churches will be marking Racial Justice Sunday, which is promoted by Churches Together in Britain and Ireland, but was established by the Methodist Church in 1995 following the tragic racist murder of black teenager Stephen Lawrence in southeast London in April 93. The Lawrence family attended a local Methodist church in that part of the capital, and the Methodist Church agreed to support the family's justice campaign. Racial Justice Sunday makes any talk of hope and unity become very real. Racial justice is not just an extra issue bolted on to the Christian faith. It flows directly from what we believe about God and humanity, that every person is made in the image of God, known by man, and worthy of dignity. Peter says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing." So that does not mean ignoring injustice. It means responding differently to it. Racial justice work often begins with listening, especially to voices that have been marginalized or unheard. It involves humility, repentance, learning, and sometimes the courage to say, we can do better. In October last month, the East Midlands URC Synod produced a video for Black History Month, a conversation between three members of the East Midlands Synod churches, Morsia, Daphne, and Panachet. Panachet is a teenager, and he interviewed and asked questions to look back at race relations in churches and the community in the 70s and 80s and up to now. And it is a conversation from the heart which shares personal experiences and ideas for what churches can do to make things better. And their recollections remind us that racial justice isn't just an idea, but a story lived out in people's lives. Moments of exclusion, courage, misunderstanding, change, and hope. And throughout their reflections, they shared how communities of faith were shaped by the societal attitudes of their times, and how those same communities have had to learn, have grown, and at times confronted uncomfortable truths. And what stood out in their stories was not only the challenge of the past, some tough stories of people being made to feel unwelcome in church, but also the hope for change. The ways ordinary church members found friendship across difference, advocated for one another in times of hurt, and worked to build spaces of welcome and belonging. And these reflections invite us to consider how our own church communities can continue to learn and act on issues of racial justice and other injustice issues here and now, not merely as a one-off Sunday, but as a way of living the gospel. The interview, which is on our YouTube channel, also offered practical ideas about what churches can do to bring about positive change. It reminded listeners that working towards justice includes not only prayer and reflection, but listening deeply to one another's stories, acknowledging where we have fallen short, and committing to ongoing dialogue and action. Racial Justice Sunday encourages us to carry this spirit forward, attentive to the experiences of others, ready to repent where needed, and active in love that seeks justice for all our neighbours. This is salt and light work. It is public faith that seeks the good of neighbours. And when people ask why we care, why we celebrate diversity and welcome unity, that is where talking faith comes in. Peter writes, always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Notice what Peter assumes. People will ask, why are you different? Why do you act this way? Why do you care? Talking faith is not about arguments or slogans. It is about being ready when curiosity opens a door to speak honestly and humbly about Jesus, about the hope that shapes our lives. The church in this country is widely known for its good works. Research has shown just how much pressure churches take off public services through care, community support, and compassion. But the challenge remains, can we articulate why we do what we do? Not just that we help, but why? Jesus knew that living visibly faithful lives would not always be easy. Earlier in chapter 5 is the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when people insult you because of me. Peter echoes that same truth. Doing good does not guarantee comfort, but it does place our lives within God's larger story. A story where resurrection, not rejection, has the final word. Peter says, should you suffer, don't forget the ultimate victory is in Jesus. Look to that eternal future. Don't fear what others say. Don't be troubled by what they say, because you have a totally different worldview. You are united behind Jesus, and they are not. Don't fear what they fear. Our deep commitment comes to Jesus from an eternal hope for the future. I've quite liked reflecting on Pope Leo's words that he said in his first speech in the week before he was inaugurated. I thought they were profound words for 2025 and should continue to echo into 2026. I just want to share those with us now. Pope Leo said, God cares for us. God loves all of us, and evil will not prevail. We are all in God's hands. Therefore, without fear, united hand in hand with God and among ourselves, let us move forward. We are disciples of Christ. Christ goes before us. The world needs his light. Humanity needs him as the bridge to reach God and his love. Help us too, then help each other to build bridges with dialogue, with encounter, uniting all of us to be one people, always in peace. Those words remind us that as the news is filled with war, fighting and political scandals, that our Christian hope of peace and love has real meaning. It is not just something woolly Christians say. We have a real hope, hope that cuts through the messiness of the world. Our hope is not fragile. It is anchored in Christ. And because of that, we do not need to fear what others fear. We are free to live generously, speak honestly, and love boldly. There is an indication from recent research that there is an openness to the Christian faith. People wanting to find out more. People are buying Bibles for themselves to read. And particularly amongst young adults, there is an openness to spirituality and belief in God. The instruction is to share humbly with those who are interested, to be ready to give a reason for the hope we have for those who ask. We should be respectful and welcoming and commend Christ and the good news of the resurrection. I've been sharing this story a few times and, around the synod, and I'm going to share it again because I think it's a good story to tell about talking faith. I was asked to speak at a church. A small group were going on a short trip to Zimbabwe. They were going to go to help build a school and do some other things whilst they were there with other charities and the people that they met and encountered. And I planned what I was going to say, my preach, based on their trip. On my way into the church, I met an older lady called Uta, originally from Eastern Germany. She was in her mid-80s, walking in with a man called Jack in his mid to late 20s. We had a short introductory conversation. They were not going on the trip. And after the service, Jack came up to me and said, "I liked your speech," which got me thinking, because we don't normally call this a speech in church. And he said it meant a lot to him because the illustration that I had given had related to a job that he had done in the past. And I asked if what I had said was correct, because I hadn't done that job, and he said it was. But his reference to my speech made me ask if he comes to this church regularly. And he said, "No. No, I've never been to a church before." He said this was the first time he had attended any church service. And I wondered why he'd wanted to visit a church this time. I'd assumed that he'd come with his grandmother. But he said because of his friend, because of his neighbour, Uta. They had become friends while sharing the care of another neighbour's cat. That neighbour had got really ill. And they took it in turns to look after the cat. And he said that he had seen something special in her and told her. And she had invited him to church and he wanted to find out more about what it was all about. Uta was not just a good witness. He was open to a conversation and ready to make an invitation to her neighbour, her friend, talking faith, giving a reason for her hope. Why she does good. That's it. No argument, no pressure. Just a life that raised a question and a gentle readiness to respond. And I reached out recently to check with Uta as to how's Jack. And he's no longer her neighbour, but he's moved and they stay in touch. And he started going to a church in that area that he's moved to. Jack had never been to church before. But he had noticed something in Uta, her kindness, her steadiness, her hope. And eventually, he asked about it, and she invited him to church. That is talking faith. Jesus ends this section of Matthew by saying that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to bring God's purpose for justice, mercy, and faithfulness to life. So today, as salt and light, as a city on a hill, we are invited to live in ways that make people curious about hope. Hope rooted in Christ. Hope expressed in justice. Hope spoken with gentleness and respect. So let us be ready, ready to listen, ready to speak. Ready to give a reason for the hope we have. Amen. And I'm going to say this prayer that's been written by the moderator of the East Midlands Synod, which you might want to read it as I pray it. A prayer for talking faith. God, present in every conversation, grant us through your Holy Spirit new boldness in talking faith. May all our speaking and our listening serve you, the one through whom the Word became flesh. Enable us to connect what we see and hear around us with what we know of you in Jesus, to help others come to know him too. And may the words of faith we share with others more closely reflect our faith in your word to us in Christ. We ask this in the name of Jesus, trusting in the Spirit to grant us the words we need. Amen. We're having our prayers of intercession.